to Lifestyles of Love with your girl Chris. And our boy Micah is back. Say what's up, Micah.
What up, what up? I'm back.
There he is.
Again, not expecting it to be so soon.
All of the opinions have come back as well. So get ready and enjoy yourself. So we're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us again for yet another edition of the Lifestyles of Love. So, you know, lots been going on. The show we're going to do today, we're going to talk about confident insecurity or being confidently insecure. And this stems from a couple weeks ago when a certain person was at a certain concert in a certain outfit. And if you were living under a rock, well, we'll tell you about it. But in the meantime, you know, there's been a lot going on, even just yesterday, on the internet, in our collective melanin community. This chick was missing, and yet not missing at the same time. And, you know, I'm not sure what this is about. Is it about attention? Is it about mental illness? Is it about insecurity? Because she was pretty confidently insecure, if I have to say so myself. So I wish we could get her on here. Shout out to Carly Russell Smollett, who had a whole plan to just take us all on a journey and leave us hanging. Now, I personally, I was very suspect from the beginning. What about you?
I didn't really know the story. So I just knew that she was chasing a baby and disappeared. And I didn't even really think anything of it just because I come across so much chaos every day.
Exactly.
So my initial thoughts weren't really anything. I'm like, damn, I hope they find her. And that was kind of just that.
Same.
It wasn't until they found her that a red flag was raised.
Very
because
red.
Of the fact that don't nobody look for black.
Right.
Y'all go missing and don't nobody look. So just off rip, it was just kind of a weird situation that it was like something actually happened is what I was reading was being reported. Was that something? She actually did get kidnapped and they found her. And I'm like,
wow.
Just off rip, it was just a bizarre kind of a situation. And I was like, and then yesterday kind of came around and
then the wheels fell off. Okay, so basically Carly Russell had called the police and reported a baby on the highway. They released the tape of her 911 phone call, and she was very detailed in her what she was seeing. She was very detailed. And then she went missing. Her car was left, her wig, her phone, her purse and wallet and everything were just left. And 48 hours went by. And then she just walked up on her mom and dad's place. And they took her to the hospital to make sure she was okay. And we ain't heard from Carly since then. She ain't talking to the news. She ain't talking to the media. She ain't talking to her friends. She ain't talking to the internet. Because I feel like I would be out there telling my, I would be like, y'all, this happened. This was crazy. I fought for my life and I need the world to know it. Obviously, Carly didn't think this was going to happen. She didn't think it was all going to go down like this. She didn't think anybody was going to care because that's the standard, the upsetting standard.
Yeah.
But she fucked around now. And when the internet hates you, it's a deep wound. It's a deep wound.
Yeah.
It can ruin your life.
Yeah.
My sister said she might be suicidal after this. I hope that's not true. At the same time, you deserve a revolution down on your head for at least a certain time because there are really people missing out here. And you mocked that. And
I'm torn on that. I'm torn on that.
Which part?
I mean, I feel like on one hand, I know she deserves the chaos,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, I feel like
it was a cry for help.
The worst thing that's, I mean, it just doesn't feel like it's the worst thing that I feel like things like this have happened, and foul play have been suspected, and you know, mm-hmm. Did you see the what's the it's Friday, so I'm gonna keep it black, but I'm gonna keep it brief. Did you see that today?
Oh, I did.
You know, yes. What I'm talking about, Lene. Mm-hmm. Did you see the way that the woman articulated the position with the whole JonBenet Ramsey thing? And
right,
I tend to lean more to what she was saying with regard to this situation. I understand that she fucked up, but it didn't really. I don't know. I've seen worse or similar things happen and have it, you know, not really affect the reality. Like, she as an individual, yes, she deserves to be held accountable as an individual.
You think she deserves to go to jail for a false, you know,
I mean, I don't
phone call to the police. That's wasting police resources. You know, that's manipulating.
Right. So my thing, I don't know how to address like accountability when it comes to the legal system. I don't agree really with jail. I'm talking about under any circumstances. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care how extraordinary, how extreme the circumstances are. I have trouble with the whole legal system. So anytime the question of jail comes into play, if you're asking me if I think she deserves to be held accountable, yes. How? I don't know. I do not agree with jail. I don't agree with jail any more than I agree with the death penalty. There's too many problems within the legal system. There's too many problems with, never mind the entire world, just with America's moral compass for jail, prison, further repercussions to for me to be okay with that. So
especially towards people of color, right? Because
especially towards people of color,
that's probably the bigger issue here, is that yes, she deserves to be held accountable, but the way we hold Black people accountable in this country, or once the justice system gets a hold of them, is it's not always going to be what it should be, or you know, the standards are low.
And for every win that we get, it's almost you know, for every time we get a win or we don't take a L, people misunderstand how unbalanced that reality is. They just think, oh well, look, she got away with XYZ, and it's almost like that's an indicator that there's a balance, and it's not. So I don't know how I feel about what she deserves in terms of, you know, punishment, but I do not believe, you know.
I understand.
That's a struggle.
And that's fair. It is fair, though, because, not sure the punishment will fit the crime if the justice system gets their way, you know? So I can totally understand that, and that makes a lot of sense.
Because when you look at like what happened, right, mm-hmm. police resources were really only dispatched because it became such a big deal on social media.
Which only, which is a good thing, right? Because that means that the internet has the ability to move shit, which means Black people have the ability to move shit.
100%. I mean, it's not to say that they weren't doing their standard job, but it becomes the kind of job where you go above and beyond when so many people get a hold of the problem.
Right.
Right. That's when it becomes a huge issue. So it's not to say, I don't want to discredit police efforts. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I do want to say that above and beyond usually does not happen as a standard. Above and beyond happens as a reaction to chaos. That's when people are like, oh shit, we got to pay attention because there's too many people that are looking into this.
Right.
It's important.
Then if you don't, you look ignorant. You look.
That's why white people always get looked at, right? They go missing.
Right.
And it turns into like, you know what I mean, like,
right.
Oh, what if it were my kids? Now we have to go and look like crazy.
Right.
So
that's true. So we are glad. Don't misunderstand. Okay. We're glad a black woman didn't lose her life. We're glad that this woman, you know, is okay.
But I'm gonna get these jokes off though.
Yeah, but that internet gonna get in that ass, and you know, the internet is forever. So if Carly Russell's grandchildren are listening to this right now, I'll just say, hopefully grandma learned a lesson. Don't do what grandma did. Okay? All right. Now, I don't know if there were any other hot topics other than that.
No, that's been the biggest thing.
That's the biggest one. Okay, great. Then we solved it. No, we didn't. But we tried, and that's all that matters. So tonight, we're going to be talking about confident insecurity. Now, obviously, you take these two words apart, they mean something. Confident meaning, you know, secure in yourself, and I don't have the definition in front of me of confident. I should. But I think we all know what confident means.
Yeah.
Insecure. Kind of the opposite of confident. So yes, I know it's an oxymoron, but it's relevant because this is the behavior that was exhibited during a certain example we're speaking on, but there were broader themes with this Kiki Usher and her baby daddy thing. And I'll start by saying Usher is not the problem here. Okay. Everybody wants to come after Usher. Usher's not the problem. Usher's been doing what men been doing that can sang like that since the beginning. He's put on a show. And he does it to every woman, so Kiki ain't nobody special. She was just special in that time. Kiki Palmer had a baby last year, and she had it with her baby daddy, who she's still with, her boyfriend. And
they worked it out?
I don't know. I think everything is okay. Seemingly. Okay. But we don't know. We didn't really get an after. We didn't get an interview. We didn't get anything. So
the last thing I saw was that he unfollowed her. That was
They unfollowed each other, and then she put out a video in some sweatpants with the song. Yeah. And then she's been putting out a lot of, like, you know, body positive stuff. But within that whole conversation and that situation came a lot of different topics, such as body shaming, mom shaming, toxic masculinity, and others. So it was a good time on the internet. I will say that though. So it wasn't like it was terrible.
Jokes off.
Mostly at his expense. What was his name?
Entirely at his expense. I don't know.
Kiki's baby daddy. I can't remember his name. Okay. His name is unimportant. So, definition of the first term I mentioned, which is body shaming. The action or practice of mocking or stigmatizing someone by making critical comments about the shape, size, or appearance of their body. Or even criticizing your own appearance. So you can body shame yourself. But usually, well, I guess maybe it's 50-50. Who knows? That probably happens more than people shaming other people's bodies, but who knows? So usually body shaming is attributed to, you know, trying to release power and control or trying to hold on to it. Sometimes it's even in the form of like mansplaining, which is, I think, what happened in this situation. Usher, you know, was having a moment with Kiki, singing her, "There goes my baby." Okay, so everybody that knows that song knows that it's like a panty dropper, okay? However, they're having a moment, and he gives her a moment to kind of walk and present herself. And, you know, she has a bodysuit on with a very sheer dress over it. She looks beautiful. And baby daddy boyfriend over here he felt the need to go into the internet and voiced his shaming, his public shaming. Yeah. And basically was just like, you know, you're a mom now. And then he went on to like mansplain some shit about this is my family and I have these standards. And then he went on to play a Kanye West song. Which one was it? Power or something? I don't remember.
It was his verse off of Forever.
Forever.
He said, I used to want this thing forever. Y'all can have it back.
And I'm not sure that any of those was the right way to go. But what I will say is that I'm sure he did talk to her about it before. I'm sure he said something to her or texted her something before he went to the internet, but maybe she wasn't listening. Maybe she didn't care. I don't know. But he felt like he needed to go to the internet. And public shaming is also another form of shaming that happened because it just didn't need to go down like that. And I think he thought that maybe the internet was going to be on his side or that, you know, those toxic men would be on his side. And they were on his side. But I think he thought that that was going to weigh out over everything else. And he was sadly mistaken.
Agree.
And I think that body shaming doesn't always have to be, well, this is just a fact. It's not always about calling somebody fat or saying that you don't like their body or whatever. Sometimes it's calling somebody too skinny, calling somebody too dark, too light. You don't like their hair. Their feet bother you. Basically just outwardly criticizing, you know, another person about their body or their shape or their size or their appearance. And there's issues with this because it can lend itself to be a form of emotional abuse. And so that's the main reason why I wanted to talk about this, because there are deeper themes at play.
Mm-hmm.
So your thoughts. I gotta turn this light on.
So, I mean, I think that whole thing really so I don't want to speculate on whether or not he spoke to her beforehand. What I saw is that he went to the internet. That's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that stemmed from him being confidently insecure. I don't know what it was that triggered the situation, but I know that first, you can't do anything on the internet without people remembering or going to look it up in the aftermath of poor decision making. You know, and a lot of times that's really what happens, is you're going to get, somebody's going to find with something that you did that contradicts the values that you claim to be trying to uphold at this moment. And that's what ended up happening. Then the internet goes back, they start finding all of these videos where he's showing off Kiki body, and it was totally fine when he was doing it. And then he turns around and he feels a way when she does it for herself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to get into these discussions if he keeps that shit behind closed doors. And my problem with the whole situation, I see it too often personally. So this is not me saying that men are like this in general.
Okay.
I can't speak for men in general. This is just things that I bear witness to personally.
Mm-hmm.
I see far too often us wanting to be viewed as leaders. You know, when you were talking about the mansplaining thing,
mm-hmm.
with him, oh, it's my family and XYZ, right? I see far too often us wanting to be viewed as leaders without actually respecting the role.
Or providing leadership.
You have to start with respecting that role, right?
Mm-hmm.
To provide good leadership, right? Because if you respect the role, then you have to look into what goes into it. You have to learn. You have to learn about versatility as a leader. You have to learn about compassion as a leader. You have to respect the people who you are attempting to lead. And so if you're trying to lead a family, you have to respect that, you know, leaders are stuck with the hard decisions. where not me per se, but I mean any leader, like they are stuck with the absolute hard decisions. And that means that a lot of times the poor decisions are going to be made, if you're doing it right, by everyone else. And it's your job as a leader to push them forward in the right manner. And I feel like if he was genuine about wanting to be a leader in that particular situation, the internet would have never known how he felt about it.
Boom. And somebody said that because someone brought up the example of Beyonce and she was like all over Terrence Howard. There was like something, whatever she was doing. And yeah. Terrence was caught up in it and he loved it, whatever. And we ain't hear nothing about that. And she ain't done it since now, has she? And maybe she has. I don't know. But, you know, not in the internet sense, not in that way.
See, and I it's hard for me to compare those particular situations because I feel like what works for one person does not work for everybody. And we always like to drop everything under the same umbrella. And I feel like some men would have, like, if my wife walked out with that outfit on, I wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't affect me, because I would know who she's with. I would know that she's safe with who she's with. And that's the only thing that I would be concerned about. So I wouldn't be worried about whether or not she's wearing that. Some people would be worried about that, right? Insecurity is not the problem. It's the confidence that comes with the insecurity that's the problem for me, right? It's when you're making sense out of thinking that you're carrying this moral high ground with a woman who you have personally sexualized. You objectified her throughout your relationship with her, and you're comfortable with doing that, but the moment that she has autonomy over her own sexuality, you feel like it's an issue openly. That's where the problem is. Insecurity itself is fine. We all have insecurities. So I'm not like super, I was never super bothered by that, but because he went to the internet with it, it opened up all of these other conversations. Absolutely. That didn't, in my estimation, they did not need to be discussed.
Right.
They don't, because we make one, you make one poor decision and that can, like, it can trigger a whole bunch of labels that maybe you weren't even looking to have to worry about defending.
Right.
Mansplaining, misogyny, you know, like you don't, he didn't need to open up that can of worms, but he made sense out of opening up that can of worms. And at least for a few hours, it got him drove off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he reactivated his account before a minute. He had to shut down because he was just getting bombarded with chaos. He could have avoided that. And I think that as a leader, it's a poor decision to try to open up dialogue in that way. If you're going to open up that kind of a dialogue, you want to do so in a more responsible manner, and to do so through being confident in your insecurity, it's just a poor way to execute leadership. And I feel like we have a really bad tendency to do that sometimes. Some of the things that I see personally, never mind what else is happening outside of my perspective, what I personally see is that we have a really bad tendency of making sense out of failing at respecting the person that we are attempting, or the people that we are attempting to be leaders to, and we just want the role. We have a really bad habit of wanting the title of positive roles that we don't respect. And then we also, on the opposite end of that, we have a habit of carrying a bunch of characteristics for negative titles that we don't want any parts of. We're comfortable with all of the characteristics that align with misogyny, but we don't want to be called misogynists. But we're not comfortable with all of the characteristics that align with being leaders, but we want that title.
I was also going to say, to piggyback that, is that you want to be this thing, but you don't even have an example of that thing. And so therefore you don't know how to execute that thing, being that thing, right? If you don't understand what it takes to be a leader, and that there have to be these other notches in it, your leadership is going to seem pretty mediocre, and it's probably going to get walked all over or laughed at when it comes out, because it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just like there were pictures of him. He was thirst trapping on the internet. And I'm not saying I wasn't looking. He looks good. But why is it okay for you? Now, I also have to say, when it comes to the body shaming, because I can attest, I've been watching Keke Palmer since Tyler Perry or Akilah and the Bee, whatever, whichever was first. Like Keke Palmer ain't never had a body like that. Okay? She was flat, flat acne. We still loved her, okay? Because she can act, and she's a great person. She's got an amazing personality. So it did matter. But she has been on a journey of motherhood, and she's herself been, you know, just giving herself so much credit. Like, look what my son gave me, these breasts, this ass, these hips. I never had this before. She's never had this before. So that was another element of body shaming that I didn't like, because I was just like, damn, like, she's, you know, a lot of women at the point where she's at after having a baby are laying in the bed in some postpartum shit. And this woman is alive and loving herself and celebrating her body. And this nigga is postpartum. Because that's all it felt like to me. I was like, okay, so you're postpartum and she's partying, like, you had the baby and she left you at home with it. And never mind all of the, you know, she don't need you, she can take care of herself, and you lucky as hell, nigga. Never mind all of that. Nobody deserves to feel bad or to be made to feel bad about their body when they feel fantastic about it. I don't care what it is. I don't care what shape it is. Lizzo or Kate Moss. If they feel good in their skin, let it go. What'd you say?
Especially when you're fresh out of being a mom.
Exactly. And that's the other element. That's the next element of mom shaming. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in that space, you know, we can't wrap our heads around what it feels like, you know, that first time.
At
any time. We can't wrap our heads around what it feels like when you've had a baby. So I think that just goes back to the point that I was saying, you know, when you feel like you want to be the leader, you have to be able to make those decisions that maybe feel difficult for you. You know, it's very easy to just hop on the internet and bash.
Mm-hmm.
That's very easy, you know, but to, you know, restrain yourself and wait to be able to have like an adult conversation and say, hey, listen, this is, you know, this makes me uncomfortable. This is what made me uncomfortable. Let's talk about how we can move forward from this particular situation. I felt like so much of the problem was less about him feeling like she was a mom dressing like that, and so much more about the fact that he took it to the internet and made it a public reality. All of these other conversations that triggered that spawned from that, they were just unnecessary. And so I feel like when he gets into that space, he just created people looking at the situation like, how dare you shame a mom? Man, right. A lot of us, we don't grow up understanding what it, none of us grow up understanding, none of us men, we grow up understanding what it's like to be a woman. I was raised by my mama and I still don't understand half of anything about how, you know,
how could you?
About what it's like to be
there's just too many, there's too many things. Yeah.
There's too many differences that are just, there's too many like beneath the surface differences between men and women. So a lot of it, you know, a lot of what you learn about men as a woman, a lot of what you learn about women as a man is due to the respect that you have for the opposite. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so him having his feelings like, yo, you're a mom. And I don't particularly have that much of a problem with that. Part
exactly. Me neither.
No, it becomes a problem because I know. So now I'm looking at you and I'm like, I don't want to judge his feelings.
No.
But when you put them on display, you give me a authority to judge what's going on. You just opened up, right, permission for me to be able to judge what's happening with you. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to look at your feelings and say, oh, that shit is invalid. Because it's not for me to say.
Right.
It's not my position. But you are giving me explicit consent to just be able to look at you and say, oh, you a sucker, you corny.
Yep.
You so insecure. I don't understand insecurity. You know, like I said earlier, my wife walked out with that same outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking pictures before she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she shares with me while she's out and whatever she shares with social media while she's out, I'm downloading to my phone. And when she gets home, I'm going to be excited to see her.
There it is. And even That's if me, you were right? mad, That's though, me. But even if you were mad, That's even if me, when right. you saw her in the moment, you were like, damn. Yeah, wear that. And then she's like, whatever, nigga, we leaving. And then she gets there and you still texting her. And it's like, babe, I'll see you when I get home. Okay, now I'm home. What do you want? Now let's talk about it. Okay, well, I feel this way. Great. Great. Because that is a conversation that's ongoing between the two of us, and we're communicating with each other, and we're not taking it to the internet or taking it to other friends, because this is what people do too. Let me go tell my mama. Let me go talk to your mama. Let me go talk to your friends or my friends and turn this whole thing on her like she being a hoe or like she's being disrespectful to the family unit, the family you're building. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you might be right. And you might be valid in your feelings. He's valid in his feelings in terms of like, that's his girlfriend. He can feel that way. But it doesn't mean that it's...
Just keep it to yourself.
Right. Keep it to yourself. Keep it between y'all. Because that's supposed to be the sacred thing about these relationships. Just on a side note, you know, people are living these relationships out on the internet. And this is the thing that I don't understand. I literally watched yesterday... I was scrolling on Instagram, just minding my own business. And I see this black couple in a bathtub, a bubble bath together. And there's no talking or anything. They're just in the bubble bath together, just like making out, having this very intense romantic moment. And I'm like, why did you post this? Not why did you record it? Why did you post this? Is it a clout thing? Is it about flaunting your relationship? Are you trying to make somebody feel... That's all I was really thinking. I was thinking it was like a petty dig at some bitch or some nigga that somebody wanted to piss off and be like, oh, we about to show them that we together and ain't nobody coming between us or whatever. That's what it felt like. But I was just like, all the comments were just like, we didn't need all of this, all this detail information, all of this... This is an intimate moment y'all are having.
I feel like social media is complicated from the sense that it puts you in a space where either you're going to share too much or not enough. And I feel like a lot of times we're in spaces where people are putting, I don't remember when it was.
What?
But you were out. It was just you. You was eating lunch or brunch or whatever. And it was literally just you posted a picture of the photo. And I hit you in the inbox like, yo, if you want a date, just post your... You just post your date. And you was like, I'm not on a date. Shut the fuck up. Like, you know, like, and
okay.
I feel like there's too much of an imbalance with the way that social media works. You are in a space where you're afraid to be embarrassed. And so people don't post they will give enough so that people speculate, but not enough so that people understand anything.
Totally.
And it's all due to the fact it's I think that plays into confident insecurities as well. It's like, I want you to see that I'm living a good life, but I don't want you to see with who, just in case that person is not actually good for me.
Exactly. Posting the hand holding, posting us walking, our feet walking, right?
Yeah. Who is so that? There are people on that side of the spectrum who do that. And then there are people who are on the side of the spectrum that what you were just talking about that just overshare. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're a person, when you're active on social media like that, when you just, you know, you tend to post consistently and you have a personal life, I feel like hiding your personal life is a misuse of social media when you're that active. But I also feel like oversharing is a pump fake. I just feel like
I think it's you setting yourself up when you overshare. Because look, I understand that we're in an age of oversharing, and oversharing is a good thing now because it gets you money and you become a influencer when you overshare and all these opportunities happen. I mean, I don't know if you watch Vanderpump Rules, but I'm sure that you at least heard about this reality TV show that just blew it all out the water this season, where this cheating scandal came out during a reality show. Like, anyway, I can tell you about it. But the point is that the girl that got cheated on is, I mean, it blew her shit up. I mean, she's got endorsements after endorsements after endorsements, and now she's living her best life. I mean, she looks like she's the one that got cheated on. She's the one that got burned. But then the karma, you know, or whatever, the endorsements are there. So she's living her best life. The you know, the life that she was never going to live being in this relationship. So there is a benefit, right, to oversharing and having too much information out there, because you can garner sympathy and empathy. But it can turn, because now if she does, she can't do anything shitty. She can't do anything shitty to another guy, an innocent person or innocent woman or man. She can't do nothing, because it's going to immediately flip on her. Oh my God, you did that after that was done to you. You shamed somebody, or you called somebody a bitch, or whatever. Like, she's got to be a perfect angel now, except to these two people that cheated on her. She can be an asshole. She can be a devil, but to the rest of the world, she's got to, you know, there's a boundary there. There's a barometer or whatever. Like, she can't do anything wrong now, because it's no matter what it is, gonna turn on her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the internet is just not really real.
It's a tricky. It's a slippery little bug, isn't it?
There's a lot of lies hidden inside of social media. So I mean, being an influencer, you gotta expect that to some degree. Every single influencer on social media is putting on a show. Now, whether or not they decide to actually live that character through and through, you know,
right?
I think about it like wrestling. Right, Macho Man was not the guy who. That was not Macho Man's actual voice. What we heard when he was over accentuating all of that chaos and shit, that wasn't his actual voice. That was his character. But he was so devoted to the character that he lived it even outside of the ring. I watched a documentary about him. And that was literally, his brother was saying, it wasn't until he retired as a wrestler that you finally, once he
dropped it,
had, once that moniker, he took over that moniker, he stayed with that moniker all the way until he retired, and it wasn't in and out of the ring. I feel like that's just social media. Mm-hmm. It's the same way. A lot of times people, even if it's your personality cranked all the way up, it's still your personality.
Exactly.
So,
and,
you know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of examples of that. There's plenty of examples of people who put on a character. It's an entertainment aspect of their personality, but that's not who they really are, or who they go home and show their children or their spouse or whomever. So yes, the next theme of it was mom shaming, which is something that occurs when someone judges or criticizes a mom for her parenting style or choices. And let me say, some of y'all deserve some mom shaming. You know, some of y'all out here doing some fucked up shit, you know, like giving your children guns to pose in Christmas cards and shit, you know, stuff like that. I feel like maybe there's a little shame, maybe a little shame, or maybe that's not the word for it. But I just feel like if you're giving your child a gun to pose with in a photo, that's child abuse, and you should probably be looked at, evaluated. But go ahead.
But that's not really about you being a mom. That's just who you are as a person.
Okay.
So don't really have anything to do with people as a mom. Like, when it goes into like mom shaming, that's a reflection of your own personal character. It just happens to bleed over onto your children. It just happens to bleed through your who you are as a parent. But it ain't really about you being a mom. It ain't really mom shaming to go in and attack somebody.
Well, yeah, because
in their kids' hand. Like, that's who you are. You trash.
Mostly people equate mom shaming with, like, you know, how you discipline your child, or how you choose to feed them, breastfeed, or using the, you know, out of the box, or where they go to school, or, you know, the rearing of the child.
That's how I feel, like, whatever. Shut the fuck up with that shit.
And you know, the thing is that, right, you know, I'm not a parent, so I can't even speak to that. But it can result in, mom shaming can result in self-doubt, anxiety, insecurity. And who wants an insecure mom? You know? That's the mom. That's the doormat mom. That's the mom that's not going to, you know, hold water and nobody's listening. And
yeah, it makes it hard for you to raise a confident child when you're not confident yourself.
Truly.
Makes it very, very hard, right?
Truly.
But parenting is fucking hard.
Already.
Doesn't matter if you're dad, doesn't matter if you're mom. It's a lot of times just harder as a mom. Not always. Not always.
Yeah.
But a lot of in a lot of ways it's harder as a mom, because especially if you had, like, my son, fortunately, he does not, my youngest prince, he doesn't hide, you know, from me.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty balanced in terms of where he seeks security. He will come to me for security, just like he comes to his mom for security. But a lot of times boys go to their mom. They run for their mom to security.
Sure.
And if, you know, if you struggle with your confidence, man, it makes it difficult for you to be in that space, you know, where you can do that and guide your son through whatever it is that is stressing him out. It's a hard fucking job, and it changes on a day-to-day basis. It's never, there are some things that are consistent about it, right? But the obstacles change regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be flexible, and you have to think on your feet. And if you do it as, the women have a lot of pressure because y'all are considered geriatric, like in your fucking 30s, you know? So y'all got a lot of pressure. Y'all got a lot of pressure to know yourselves, right? Because that's a big part of being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like us.
We talked about that.
When you want to be successful is knowing who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So y'all got to deal with the pressure of having kids early. But y'all, a lot of times, y'all may not be in a space where you have even had time to learn who you are. And you're trying to teach this child how to understand who they are, and you don't even know you.
Because
you have this pressure of having children at such a young age. You know?
See?
So it's just, there's a lot of unfairness that comes with being a mom that does not, that men don't necessarily have to bear. We don't have to bear those burdens.
The body, the snapback.
That doesn't, a hefty dad doesn't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
look, dad bods it are in.
Catch the same heat that, but that, yeah, listen, I'm walking around with all dad bod.
Dad bod, father figure.
I sit up in the morning, that's my workout for the day, right? And nobody cares.
Well, and right, because you're married and you don't need to impress anyone, so that's totally fair. And then a lot of times with this mom shaming, it's other moms. I mean, in this, the case with Kiki, that was her man mom shaming her. But usually it's other moms mom shaming, because moms sometimes put unrealistic expectations on themselves and other moms. And
there is no rule book.
You know?
That's why moms will do that to each other, because they think if this is working for me, it's supposed to work for you. There is no rule book. Every single situation is totally different.
Right.
No matter how many similarities there are so many different, there are so many variables that make it difficult for a mom to be able to maneuver as a mom. So for one mom,
and every child is different. I imagine you can't parent every child the same way. Even if you have multiple children and they're all in the same house, yes, there's an overall parental, you know, mom, dad figures or whatever the, you know, whatever the dynamic is. But
yeah,
this child is different than that child. And I gotta strategize a little differently. I gotta talk a little differently. I gotta pull this one aside, or I gotta yank this one up a little harder. I mean, there's just different variables. I mean, children are all different. So the parenting is going to be different, right?
Just from a perspective of like eating,
mm-hmm.
kids don't like eating shit, and then there are other kids who like eating everything,
mm-hmm. and
you don't know how to navigate really either, because it's a complicated reality. Regardless, it's not. You would think that it would be easier if a kid just will eat anything, because then you can just cook whatever you want, and boom, it's not a problem.
But I'm saying, but
that can still be complicated. That can still be a complicated issue to navigate. And Prince, like, he doesn't eat anything. He barely eats any meat. Barely.
Okay.
You know, he might do breakfast sausages, for example.
So maybe that's, he's just vegan?
Everything else is just, you know, vegetables, fruits.
Vegetarian. Okay.
You know, he likes eggs, whatever, right? Like, no. But he won't, you know, rice, French fries. All kids love French fries.
He's just not a meat eater.
But he just doesn't really eat meat like that. It's complicated to manage that situation. It's very difficult to manage that. So Shannon's always in her phone trying to figure out, like, what can I do that maybe he'll try and actually like, what can I do that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, she's always trying to deal with that situation. My mom, unintentionally, often comments on how he doesn't eat. And she doesn't mean it to be like disparaging toward me.
She's just,
Shannon, right?
It's an observation, but, and she's might be concerned just, or something.
Yeah, she's just concerned about the fact that he just has a very select, you know, he has a very small menu that she has to choose from, you know, when it comes to feeding him. And so she's always concerned about it, and she always talks about it. And I don't know if that ever affects. I don't know if that affects my wife, but it's something that could, because there's always this discussion about whether or not she's doing the job correctly.
Oh, right. There it is.
It's always the discussion of whether or not she's doing the job correctly. Women don't need to deal with that.
Right. Are you feeding your child? Is he eating? What are you feeding this child?
Yeah. Y'all don't need that pressure. But a lot of times that's what happens, especially with the older generation. They raised us a certain way. And so they think, my mom used to feed me liver and I couldn't stand up from the table until I ate it. Don't nobody want to eat no liver.
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to eat that. You know what I mean? Nobody, not adults. So why would a 7-year-old want to eat liver? But my mom used to sit me at the table and make me, you know, I got liver.
Eat the black eyed peas.
It tastes like steak. No, it don't, mama. Stop playing with me.
I know.
No,
that's always been a strange thing to me. But obviously there were reasons why parents were like that beforehand, because it was just like, this is what we got. All right.
Of course.
We ain't got these other options. And then if there are other options, we can't afford them. So this is what it is. And we need you to eat because we need you to stay alive there. Okay.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, well, not even now. I mean, even when I grew up, when I was growing up, parents were very like, okay, well, this kid only eats this and this kid only. But now it's a whole other ball game, because we're talking about allergies all the time. We're talking about vegetarianism, veganism. We're talking about dairy. We're talking about, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And these kids are
just one aspect of parenting.
Different. Yeah.
That's just one aspect of parenting.
That's just one aspect.
That's all we're talking about.
Oh, God. So. All right, I'm gonna think about making that happen and maybe change my mind. So, the next topic amongst this topic was toxic masculinity, and there are healthy forms of masculinity. Okay, so the definition of toxic, meaning dominant form of masculinity, wherein men use dominance, violence, and control to assert power and superiority. And I think that was the biggest theme of this whole Kiki thing, was some toxic masculinity, because at the end of the day, he was trying to flex on her. That he was trying to flex his masculinity. And say, I'm the man, and you shouldn't be dressing like that now that you're a mom. And this is my family. Emphasis on the word my. And I don't want to run it like that. Which goes back to what you said, you know, about these leadership roles. And what I said, when it's like, if you don't even have an example of a leader, or if you don't even know how to lead, everybody ain't a leader, okay? I understand every man or every woman can be the leader of their household, a leader of their life, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are a leader, you have leadership ability or skill. And it's okay for a man to let his woman lead. I'm sure there's times where it goes in ebbs and flows through marriage, where it's like, sometimes I lead, sometimes she leads, whatever. But in this case, because like you said, he put it out there on the internet. Now we have the ability to judge it and or analyze it and break it down for what it was or what it appeared to be. And toxic masculinity definitely was resonating for me because I just didn't like that. I just didn't like his tone, and I didn't like that he was making it seem like Kiki was doing something wrong, like she was intentionally doing something wrong, or intentionally disrespecting their family, or intentionally being a hoe. And that was my issue with it. And that's where the toxicity comes into it for me, because I don't feel that any woman should be put in that judged place because of an outfit. You know, I can understand if she was out here and had multiple baby daddies, but you know what? Nobody's doing that to Nick Cannon. And I'm saying, like, he definitely gets a little dad shame just for having so many baby mamas, but the dude wrote the song, I'm a Gigolo. So he told y'all already. And it was all good. Y'all was bumping it in the club. So
I ain't even know people listen to that.
Well, but Kiki didn't do that. And Kiki ain't never came out and said she was no jigga hoe, always on the go, or anything of that magnitude. We ain't never even seen Kiki. We ain't never even had heard her linked to no man before this dude. I certainly haven't. Or since.
Women don't deal with those kind of consequences. So it don't matter that he put that song out. We don't deal with that.
Right.
The same way that women deal with
that. That's what I'm saying.
Y'all expected. Y'all are held to a different standard than men are held to. So, I mean, I don't even take into consideration any songs that you could reference with me. I grew up off the idea that bees ain't shit but hoes and tricks. I grew up hearing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I
but a lot of people did, and that don't necessarily mean that's how they treat their woman or their mom, or you know,
no,
because on the other side of that, you had Johnny Gill saying my. So it's just like, you know, we had Jodeci over here on the other side of E-40.
Yeah, but then we
you know what I'm saying?
But we all also have the idea of Casey's problems when it came to Mary J.
Oh, all right,
right.
So I'm just talking about the music here.
Too much music, great. I hate you, but that was just it, when you said the Jodeci thing, it just threw me off. Because I love Casey,
damn it.
But
it's just that New Edition. You know,
there's that. There's Bobby, right?
I knew you were gonna say.
Listen, let's not do it. Let's not do that. But I got references for months.
Fine.
You understand, like, but no, I think that a lot of I don't. That's why I said that he should have just kept it to himself. I'm not mad at the fact. A lot of us, we grow up feeling like we have to be leaders. And a lot of the people who taught us leadership when we were young, they grew up, they led with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand any other form of leadership. That's not to say you can't lead with an iron fist.
Right.
It's just leadership requires versatility. If you want to actually be, If you're considered a great leader,
mm-hmm.
if you look back in history at any of the great or at any of what the history considers to be great leaders,
mm-hmm.
right? Any of them who ruled with an iron fist, I would argue that versatility would have made them more effective.
Mm.
So if they were great, they would have been extraordinary. You know what I mean? They would have whatever's above great, they would have been at that level had they been able to, you know, have some versatility. That's just my personal viewpoint on the situation. So when I hear it, that was really where the problem was. The hard thing to do in that particular situation would have been to feel insecure quietly. That would have been a really difficult thing to deal with.
Yeah.
In that situation that happened with Kiki, mm-hmm. was to feel insecure quietly. And then
be vulnerable later about it.
And then be vulnerable. A lot of times we're not raised to be vulnerable.
I know.
And when we're vulnerable, we looked at it soft and, you know what I mean? I had a discussion with a guy who was going crazy for days about the Kiki thing.
Mm-hmm.
My timeline was flooded and I was just tired of seeing it.
Yeah.
So I chimed in at some. I chimed in at some point, and I typically stay off. I don't do that anymore. You know, we was doing that back in 2016 when there was just a lot of racial uproar. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I was going crazy in that time where I was all over the place on social media, just throwing, you know, killing people's timelines with my frustration.
Mm-hmm.
But I stay away from that now, and I tend to stay away from people in their discussions. In this particular situation, though, he was just going crazy about the Kiki situation, and I was just irked about it because I'm looking at the situation like you can't defend what he's doing if you're actually trying to get anything accomplished. Now, if you just want to be an asshole and make women look bad, then cool. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
If
sure.
that's your objective, then do what you do, right?
Kevin Samuels.
But if you are talking about, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you're actually trying to create a situation where problems between men and women, specifically Black men and women, where problems between men and women are mended, and you consider yourself a leader, every part of the most difficult tasks have to fall on your shoulders. Now, if women decide on their own that they're gonna move into a different space and function however it is that, you know, that is accommodating to your vision, great, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely their personal situation. But as men, if we're looking at women and feeling like we're the leaders, but y'all need to be held accountable, those two don't go hand in hand. Y'all
right.
can't be held accountable the way that y'all can't be held accountable through shame if we're supposed to be the leaders. We have to be able to make sense. If I look at myself as a leader, I got to be able to look at you and say, I respect you. We're not doing this publicly. Privately, let's talk respectfully.
Respectfully.
Let me tell you how I feel. Let me tell you what I think we should do to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because expressing a problem without having a solution is a waste of time to begin with, right?
Because just whining.
You're just venting because you're mad, right?
Venting.
So you got to be able to say like, yo, listen, I love you. I respect you. This is what I think we should do to move forward. Let me know what your thoughts are. I respect you enough to understand what your thoughts on the situation are. Let's talk. And I feel like that would have gotten the problem resolved a whole lot more effectively than hopping on the internet and doing that. And we need to be able to be that as men if we're going to be able to say we're leaders, or if we're going to consider ourselves, oh, this is my, mm-hmm. that's where the toxic masculinity comes in, is feeling like, yes. oh, it's my.
It's
okay,
yours.
Well, show me.
Yes.
Show me.
And there are a lot of traits of toxic masculinity, but outwardly unhealthy traits include unconditional physical toughness, physical aggression, fear of emotions, discrimination against people that aren't heterosexual, hyper-independence, sexual aggression or violence, anti-feminist behavior, which is what I think this was. Many people who identify as male can feel pressure to embody traits of toxic masculinity, which can lead them to act aggressively or violently towards others and themselves. I think the anti-feminist behavior was the reason it turned on him. And the only reason why is because this is America. And in America, not all women are feminists, but a lot of them are. And the internet is definitely feminist. And it's about body positivity. It's about living out loud, living your truth. Well, at least on my internet. I understand other people's internets, you know, show them things that they want to embody. But the internet that I get is full of American women who ain't asking for permission to show their bodies off. Ain't asking for permission to you know, show these stretch marks or whatever it is. And so I think that was the downfall, because I don't think that you can really get away with that as an American man in America unless you're, I don't know how you would get somebody on your side about that in America, being honest with you. In liberal America.
I think that goes back to the actual problem, right? If you consider yourself a leader, then you know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are women who are like that. You don't have to convert anybody a lot of times. And I feel like what ends up happening is we meet women who don't fit the aesthetic that we later go on to describe as being important to us. And then we try to convert them once they're in our space, instead of looking for women who actually meet the standards that we have for women. And I feel like there are women that are out there that are like that, you know, on that same post that I was talking about, there were women who were supporting everything that homeboy was saying. And I'm looking at the status like, oh my God, this is like misogyny at its finest. Like,
misogyny like noir. Brain, this is what I'm misogyny at. Noir. Man,
I'm also though, I feel like what happens with them is they look at feminism and it's muddied in 2023. It's not its core reality to uplift women in reality, like at its core. In 2023, it's like you can lump in slamming men and fuck niggas and names. You know what I mean? You can do all that's of that true. And lump that into feminism in 2023, and that's not what it's supposed to be about. So I feel like a lot of men see that and they look at those waters being muddied and they say feminism is some bullshit. However, that goes back to leadership. Your job is not to be worried about what's fucked up over here unless you're going to fix it. And you can't fix it making sense out of trying to rule with an iron fist. You have to be versatile. So if you're looking at the situation like, yo, I want people to adhere, you have to respect that. First of all, you have to respect that people are going to have a difference in opinion, even if you don't like it.
Yeah, that's just
everything about it.
One-on-one.
But you have to respect that people are going to have a difference in opinion. And if you're not in that space where you can say, yo, you know, I'm this section over here, they're never going to see my way as a way that that complements the way that they function. If you can't do that, you're not in position to make sense. Sense out of saying anything about anyone. You have to respect that much.
Right. And there are examples, you know, there is such a thing as toxic femininity. And that's another show. And we'll do it. But
totally different,
you know, I don't know. Different vibes. Okay, so then the opposite being like positive masculinity or non-toxic are men who address disrespect, encourage other men to express their emotions freely, encouraging compassion and kindness towards themselves and others, listening to experiences and validating feelings. It's okay that you feel that way. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe I don't like that you feel that way, but I'm not going to tell you that it's wrong to have feelings. And then the last one was check in with male friends and loved ones. I think it's very important for men to have some form of camaraderie among other men that can hold you accountable for your bullshit. Because sometimes it's really difficult for women to call men out on certain things because it just seems like we're nagging or like we're being negative or we're being toxic, right? When we hold you accountable because you said you're going to be somewhere and you're not. And now I'm nagging you because I'm like, why can't you never just be where I told you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, this bitch, here she comes. It's like, well, actually, if you talk to another man who is going to keep it real with you in a positive, respectful way, he's probably going to be like, well, man, like, why are you always late? If you told her that, why wouldn't you hold that up? Instead of giving each other just bad advice and basically just saying, like, you good, dog. Like, she tripping. Because she might be. But that's not the way to address it so that your guy, your friend, has a successful relationship or a successful interaction with the woman.
Yeah.
You know?
To me, it just sticks right along with the leadership reality.
Totally. You're right.
I just feel like you have to We got to hold ourselves accountable. I mean, if you don't want to be viewed as a leader, then that's great. But you can't want to be viewed as a leader and not be willing to make all of the difficult decisions.
Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
I feel like a part of being a leader is also just understanding when not to lead.
Exactly. That's a huge part of it.
Shannon takes charge and I just be like.
Well, and you know what I was also going to say about that? There's probably times that Shannon's taking charge and she makes you feel like you're taking charge. Women have the ability to do that. Where it's like, you know, of course, I'm the one that planned this trip because I'm the woman and I'm the one that has that kind of brain.
Right.
But I'm, you know, when we get to the resort, this is my man. He's checking us in. He's the person that's going to lead us to our room and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And he's going to be the one that, you know, leads us to all the events that we planned and all and takes the reins and leads or whatever. But I'm the one that planned the damn. I planned it down to a T, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one example.
But even in an overt reality, right? In an overt example, sometimes knowing is just letting the other person take charge.
Yep.
So if you're a man and you feel like I'm the leader, you have to know when this is not your time to lead.
When it's time to take a back seat.
It's time to take a back seat. That's just a part of leadership. Being a leader is not always about being in the front of the line.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just understanding that you need to take a step back and you need to allow. You don't sit in the role of a leader so that you can remain a leader. You sit in the role of a leader so that you can elevate leaders.
Teach others to lead.
Right. That's your goal as a leader, ultimately.
And then you need to sit back and let them lead so that you can.
Absolutely. 100%. And so if you don't know that there are times when your wife, your girlfriend or whatever, right, is going to lead, if you don't know that there are times when that's necessary, if you don't respect that, then you're not fit to play that role. And that's just the reality of the situation. So I know that a lot of like the way that I view things is viewed as passive. And so people look at this situation. I know other men, I've spoken with other guys who feel like, man, you sound like a woman right now. And I'm like, that's okay. I'm married to a woman, so I don't really care. Like, you know what I mean? It's I'm totally fine.
I mean, that only makes sense because you've been talking to a woman and been listening to how a woman thinks and how she speaks on herself as a woman. And now you understand it. And so now the way that you express yourself has a little bit more of her in it. And now you sound like a woman. Yeah. I mean, that I'm sure that's heard around the world once men get married and are actually in love with their wives. You listen to your wife? What? You know, you talk to her about these things? You know, like, wow, like you guys have conversations every day, just the two of you. And it's like, well, what if you're married, I mean, what else are y'all doing?
There isn't a song on the album that I dropped on that Redemption joint. There isn't one song that has a topic that me and Shannon haven't discussed 1,000 times. Not one. We've discussed every single topic on all 12 of those joints. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. At least if it's supposed to be healthy, you're supposed to be able to have those discussions.
I mean, listen, there are some people who have to have relationships. There's boundaries of conversation. Sometimes there's things you can't talk about because you don't agree or it's going to start a fight. We ain't going to talk about that bitch from the past. We don't want to talk about that. That's in the past. You know?
I don't have boundaries with that.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying
that, I know some relationships are like that, but that's the point, right? Is that nothing is always the same, right? There's literally no relationship that actually is identical to the next. So some people are going to have boundaries in their relationships. When it comes to conversation, me and Shannon don't have any boundaries. It's just a different situation for us than it is for other people. There's nothing wrong with it. I just feel like you need to know what it is that works for your situation and actually respect.
Because people have triggers and people have boundaries and issues that they just can't or don't want to, or things that have happened in the past have a way of resurfacing. If you're somebody that holds grudges, if you're somebody who can't let things go all the time, then there might be things that it's like, we just don't talk about that. We don't talk about Bruno, whatever the fuck it is. So, and it's based on what you both have decided are the boundaries 100%. Or the safe 100%. Words or whatever. So, great. This is a great conversation because it can continue. There's so many themes among this oxymoron of a topic that that can come out. I mean, obviously, if you've been listening, you hear it. There's stuff, you know, I brought up some topics to talk about, but there's other things, you know, there's other aspects of those topics. So, you know, if anyone has any commentary on our commentary, please hit us up. Shout out to my DMs and let me know. Well, okay. Micah is the type that, you know, he would rather be seen and not heard. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure he would rather be heard and not seen, but you can always DM me. Shout out to my DMs because y'all keep me going. All right. Had some great conversations this week. Great conversations. And in the meantime, you can always follow, subscribe, like, follow, love, heart, thumbs up, cry emoji, whatever. At lifestylesoflove_ at Crystal with a K on IG or TikTok, and at aspire_music if you feel like you need Micah to know your thoughts. Now, if he doesn't respond, I'm not responsible, but
keep it to yourself.
I will respond. And fellas, okay,
and fellas, listen, keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear none of y'all anger with my, I am not saying women are perfect. I'm saying we could do better at helping everyone do better. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. We can all come together, you know, and make it a better place. You know, Michael, he meant that shit. All right. We love you and we thank you for another amazing episode of Lifestyles of Love. Thank you, Micah. Appreciate you always.
Thank you for having me.
And forever, of course. And he'll be back. And please catch up on our episodes. If you didn't listen to the last one, Questions with Karen. Bye. Like, on fire. Okay? So, definitely listen to that one. And our debut of Lifestyles of Love 2023 Reverse Racism. For now, this is your girl, Chris, signing off. Good night.